Shall we look into the scripture once again? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Shall we pray? Lord God Almighty, have mercy to open our hearts to understand thy word. Teach us to appropriate thy truth diligently for our blessing and for thy glory. May you bless Christian parents to love the children and to love them as God would have them loved. We pray that we will never hinder our children from serving the Lord, but rather make the way for them to serve the Lord. And may your glory be seen through thy word as we study it together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was born to my parents as their first child in 1965. Now you know my age, right? That was a long time ago. Of course, I can't remember anything what my parents said to the Lord. And I can't really remember them telling me either that they made a vow to bring me up to serve the Lord. That is very strange to me until today. I can't unravel that aspect. Why didn't they tell me? I'm not going to quarrel with them. That's not right. Nonetheless, it's always in my mind. Well, one thing they did all the time was to open me to the preaching of the gospel, to tell me the wonderful things about serving the Lord and give me exposure to the Lord's work, as my father himself was a minister of the gospel. And I, by the grace of God, received so much privilege in my home and in my church because of my parents to interact with believers, pastors, missionaries, those who came to stay in my house. And often I had to vacate my room to accommodate pastors and traveling missionaries. So I had lots of opportunities to talk with them, to know what ministry is all about. From very young age, I was excited about God's work. Nonetheless, as I grew up, you know, like any young man who studies hard and expects a good living, wanted the best wages of this world. I knew my father's earlier period of ministry was not easy. It was very difficult. Financially, he struggled. It was hard for him to bring me up and my brother and sister. And when I heard those stories from my mom, I said in my heart, this is not the way I want to live. I'm sure my mom didn't say those stories to discourage me from serving the Lord. She said those stories to tell me how in difficulties the Lord remained faithful to provide. But to me, I couldn't see God's provision, but I could only see the troubles. That was heavy and in my heart, you know, heavily pressed in my heart, and I just couldn't understand how to live through it. So I told myself, as soon as I finished my secondary school, that I'm going to study hard and become an aeronautic engineer. And I wanted to fix plane and fly plane if possible. And I studied hard for that. Nonetheless, the Lord intervened. After my pre-university as I was preparing to go into an aeronautic engineering college, the Lord suddenly made my life miserable by bringing out what I was secretly entertaining. I mean the sins that I secretly entertained, which I thought I can cover up all the time. My parents came to know about it, and they decided to confront me. The moment I had the clue that my parents know what I've been doing during my pre-university days, which were generally a period of backsliding in my life, I started to tremble. You know, I never wanted my parents to think that I'm a disobedient child. You know, I'm the first son of a pastor. It's a heavy burden. And I was trembling, literally. And my father suddenly called me into his study room and said, "Das, come here." I knew trouble comes. I went inside. He said, "Sit down." And I sit on the other side of his study table. And he said, "Son, I heard some things that you did. Is it true?" I said, "Yes." "Is it what you want to be as a Christian?" I said, "No, Dad." "Do you know how painful it is for me as your father, especially being a pastor?" I said, "I know." Then for the next 20 minutes, my dad preached the gospel message. I thought he's going to really scold me and make a lot of noise. It was just the opposite. You preach God's grace that is available to forgive if you repent. For 20 minutes, never was gospel so sweet to me. I believed in the Lord Jesus at a young age. Don't ask me when, I don't know. But I always believed as I grew up. The Lord was very dear to me. I felt I betrayed Him for 2 years. I still went to church, you know. I still sang in the choir. I still participated in the wife, but I had my own secret life. So no way of running now. I had to face it. But I was so glad that my father very gently reached out to me that day and said, "Son, this is where a father's desperation comes. But I just want to trust in the Lord and tell you to trust Him. He will forgive. You can wake up and serve the Lord again." He said, "Go back and confess to the Lord." I said sorry to him, and then I went back to my room, knelt down, asked the Lord to forgive me. But something started that day in my heart that is still at work in an irresistible way. The Lord suddenly gripped my heart and started to work in me so that I would pray more, I would read the scriptures more. And I also picked up a little book written by a man called William MacDonald called Think of Your Future, a very small booklet. And that book essentially says this: you have only one life, you have spent your life in sin. Because of your sins, you also caused others to sin, and you brought much grief to people who loved you. Why don't you spend the rest of your life to make sinners see the light of Christ, to bring them to Christ? That sort of struck my heart and said, "That's it. Why should I anymore live for any other purpose than telling others of the great love and mercy of God that forgave me? There are many out there who is just like me." Because some of the friends with whom I sinned were from Christian homes, and they were still outside the kingdom of God, living in sin. And I felt great burden in my heart that I must get back to my friends and tell them of Christ and ask them to stop from sinning and follow Christ. And that was such a strong feeling in me. But I kept arguing with God in my heart. "Look, Lord, If you want me to serve, but who will provide for me, you know? You see, that was always my thinking. To be a pastor, to be a missionary means to be poor. That's how I always thought. But I didn't bother to look in those days the way the Lord provided for my family. But the Lord led me to Matthew chapter 6. I was reading through the Gospel of Matthew, and I came to Matthew 6, and I saw the Lord telling the disciples how he cares. And he says in verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I felt the Lord answered my prayer. Then again, I had this trouble, but God never told me that he wants me to serve him. When I read Matthew's gospel, I came to the passage that says, the Lord says to the disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of harvest may send laborers. That gripped my heart and said, Lord says, pray, because there is a shortage of workers. Harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh Lord, if your spirit is working in me, if your word answers my doubts and questions, and you ask your disciples to pray, and I'm sure many God-loving people are praying, why should I wait? I had only about a week more to go for the engineering college. I was packing my luggage, you know, getting all things ready to leave home. After I was so convicted by the Spirit of God through the truth, I ran to my dad's room. He was having a nap. I wake him up and said, Dad, I'm no more going to be an engineer. He was sat up on his bed and he said, Why? You were so excited to go and be an engineer. Now why do you change? What's wrong with you? He said, Nothing wrong, Dad. The Lord called me to serve him. He looked at me. Are you sure? I said, Yes. Well, my son, you know, you backslided and you came back. It has not been very long since then you returned to the Lord. So I wonder whether it's all an emotional, emotional roller coaster that you're feeling inside. So why don't you just slow down and think again? He said, No, Dad, I want to go now. As soon as possible, I want to enter a Bible college. He said, Look, if that's the case, let me tell you. I gave you when you were born to the Lord. And that's why your name is Prabhu Das. Prabhu means Lord, Das means servant. I never thought about my name till then. My dad has told me the reason why he gave his name to this name to me is because he wants me to serve him. But it never hit me that it is for full-time service. As long as I serve him anywhere, it should be okay. That's what I thought. After all, there are so many people with the name Prabhu Das. By the way, this name can be a very prestigious name in India, because Prabhu can mean Lord, and Prabhu Das, Das, no weight is given to Das. It's the weight is given to Prabhu. So it's like, you know, people would call a Prabhu Das, hey, Mr. Prabhu. They seldom call the person Mr. Das. It's normally Mr. Prabhu. So I thought about my name like that, Mr. Prabhu. Wow, not bad. But everything changed that day. And my mom said after that, son, this is what we always wanted. But we wanted the Lord to impress on you. Nonetheless, we dedicated ourselves to the Lord to pray for you all the time and give you an atmosphere of Christian growth, interaction with God's people, engage in missionary activities, and we did that all these years. Now, since the Lord called you, we are just happy go on and serve the Lord. Now, different parents may do things differently. I personally think if a mother or father or both together dedicate a child to the Lord's service, they should tell the children from young and bring them up. Now, I'm not trying to point my finger against my parents. Nonetheless, I think that's the right way. And if you look at Hannah's approach in bringing Samuel up, she was always mindful. And she is the one who finally brought Samuel to the temple for the service of the Lord. And I'm not saying my parents never look after me. I again want to repeat that, because in any case, anybody think that it's okay to keep quiet. They always encourage me to serve the Lord, always encourage me to memorize God's words, always encourage me to be humble and self-sacrificing, always taught me to love the Lord, give Him all glory. And that itself was overwhelming. It's an overwhelming encouragement to me to love the Lord. Now I want you to consider the scripture now. Please look at that verse that we read. What is a parental vow all about? Let me show you some important ingredients that is manifested in Sarah's vow before the Lord. And she vowed a vow. It was surely a vow, all right? It's not a passing remark. She vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Three times you see Hannah referring to herself as handmaid. Three times in that verse. A vow must come from a heart that is humbled before the Lord. We should never look upon the vows that we make as a demonstration of our spirituality. Vows are not to be made to show off that you are spiritual than others, or you are greater in the Lord's service, or you are a better person than somebody else. We know the context. Her husband, Elkanah, had another wife. Her name is mentioned, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah didn't have. So Peninnah sort of laughed at Hannah. It was difficult for Hannah to live in the same house. Elkanah was a good husband. He thought he was a good husband. He said, am I not better than sons? But to have another wife in the house, no matter how much you say to your first wife that you love her, no use. He thought, oh, by providing a lot, he would be a good husband. I never forget a man whom I met in one of the old folks' homes where I went to preach, and he said, you know, I have no sin. And I said, who said you have no sin? Oh, no, I have no sin. Then a nurse told me he has 4 wives and 16 children. So I went to tell him, hey, you are a sinner, you know, you committed adultery, you got 4 wives. He asked me, how do you know about it? I said, well, somebody told me. Then I said, is it not a sin? Why is it a sin? As long as I can provide for all the 4 wives, it's no sin. I give them money, I give them house, I provide for them, so no sin. I said, what did your first wife tell you? Was that okay? Did she say to you when you marry the second wife that you are a good man, you are so loving, so faithful? Don't talk to me about all this. That's what he said. It's obviously a sin, but man will find his way of justifying it, just as Elkanah did. But Hannah was hurt deep in her heart. The one who is supposed to look after her, to provide love and care, in a sense betrayed her totally. and she has no son, no children. So she went to the Lord. She cried. As verse 10 says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. But she was, bitterness of soul does not mean she was bitter against the Lord. The word bitterness of soul there gives the idea of pain and agony, the despair that she was undergoing. She came to the Lord because she loved him. She knew that the Lord is a better husband. She knew that the Lord would never betray her. So with all her bitterness and sadness, she came to the Lord. And she said, Lord, I come here not to argue, not to debate, not to bargain, but to yield myself. And three times she repeated, I'm a handmaid. But interestingly, it's not just handmaid. Would you please look again into verse 11? All the three times it is said, thine handmaid, thine handmaid, thine handmaid. She yielded herself before the Lord in total submission. Lord, this is too hard for me to bear. Nonetheless, I come here as a servant, as a maid, having no claim. Lord, thou art the Lord of hosts. Rule over me. Rule over my heart. I humbly come. She never rebelled in a need. When we think of our children, or when we pray for children, we should never allow any kind of spiritual pride to creep into our hearts. Never pray so you can prove that you are a better father or mother to others. Don't pray for such purposes. Are you praying for a child? And if the Lord God Almighty moves your heart to pray with humility, then pray and say, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give that child to thee. Or maybe you have a very difficult child who doesn't obey you, disobey you, very hard, and people complain, teachers complain, people in the church complain. Go on your knees and pray. Not to show off, but to say, Lord, if I have a child, I want it to grow for your glory. Let it come from a humble heart, from a yielding heart. A vow has to be a humble prayer in the first place. A prayer of a handmaid. Look again. Now, three times we see she making petitions here. She vowed a vow and said, look at the first petition. O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of that handmaid. She asked the Lord to look into her life and see her trouble. The second petition, remember me and not forget thine handmaid. Third petition, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Three times she prayed with earnestness. Let every vow also be a prayer of earnestness. Earnest prayer. It is not false claims or arrogant claims that we make. Vows have to come from a humble heart that is earnest to receive the goodness of the Lord and to use that goodness for the Lord. Lord, see my trouble. Don't forget thine handmaid if you give me a man child. Some of you may be wondering, how come she didn't ask for a girl? Anybody ever thought about it? I thought about it. It's not because Hannah didn't like girls, I'm sure about it. Because there's nothing in the Bible that says she hated girls. Because to serve in the temple as a priest had to be a man. Her mind was filled with her child serving the Lord. Can you see that? a man child so I can give him back to serve you. Earnest prayer. And the prayer was also a total dedication to the Lord's service. She is taking a responsibility to herself to bring up this child for the service of the Lord. That's what she's doing. Bless me, Lord, that these hands may bear a child and guide the child to serve you for the rest of his life. Every mother's hand that carries the child and sings songs of God's praise and gently speak into the ears of the children that her children should serve the Lord is a blessed hand, is a blessed motherhood. And she wanted that grace from God, that favor from God, that she may bring up a man for God's service. How many mothers here want to do that for the Lord? Some of you may be dreaming, oh, if my son is a doctor. Nothing wrong about being a doctor. Otherwise, all the doctors will be angry with me now. Oh, nothing wrong about being an engineer. I'm not saying all these things are wrong, but we also need God's servants, isn't it? Never think of our children serving the Lord as something weak and feeble and not glamorous. It is something eternally glorious. May mothers have this desire to see the children not just serving now and then, but really serving the Lord in a full-time ministry also. How wonderful. But it can only come from a heart that is totally dedicated to the Lord. She said, then I will give him unto the Lord. Now please look at the rest of the phrase there. All the days of his life. You know, if you read Numbers chapter 4 verse 3, there we are told that the Levites were to serve from 30 years old and upward even until 50 years old. But here she says she's going to give her son all the days of his life to serve the Lord. She was willing to dedicate this child to be a special servant of the Lord and never look back. Tremendous. She not only dedicated her son by this vow to the Lord, if the Lord would give her one, she also took a vow to bring up this child to live a consecrated holy life. That's what it means when you read at the end of verse 11. She says, there shall no razor come upon his head. This is a Nazarite vow. There are more details to the Nazarite vow. But basically it means that child will stay holy, sanctified for the Lord, separated life for the Lord. And this mother was mindful to help that child to live that life. Not only with a desire to serve the Lord, but at the same time as a holy child for the Lord's service. What a dedicated mother it is. Remember the four things I brought to your attention about Hannah's vow. It was a prayer of humility. It was a prayer of earnestness. It was a prayer of total dedication to the Lord's service. It was a prayer of consecration to holy life, separated life for the Lord. Now, dear friends, the Lord blessed her with a son. And she performed just as she vowed. And I want you to remember these things. Please turn to Ecclesiastes, please. Chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. verses 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, differ not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than thou shouldest vow and not pay. There's a warning here. Do not deal with God haphazardly. If you don't mean, don't say it. If you ask for the Lord to bless you, if you ask for God's blessing, if you ask anything for the Lord for special mercies, especially for your children, and in return you say, Lord, I will give my child to serve you, please mean business with the Lord. Otherwise, it's a great sin. Nonetheless, it's a wonderful thing to give your children to the Lord. Not because we can perform it, but the Lord will help us to perform it. But it must come, remember, from a humble heart, an earnest heart, a dedicated heart. Please turn with me to Proverbs 31. I'll give you an example of this. This is what it should be. A vow doesn't end with a prayer that we make before the Lord. A vow will require us to continually train our children to bring them up for the Lord's glory. Chapter 31 of Proverbs are the words of King Lemuel's mother. And this is what she said to him while teaching her son. She said, "What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows?" And then she went on to tell him what he should do as a godly child. You can read. She not only told him what he should be, but what kind of wife he should choose in the years to come. Here is a mother who was totally dedicated to her vow to the Lord concerning her son. We are not told exactly what was the vow, but look at it, the way she dealt with her son to fulfill her vow to the Lord. I want you to consider verse 2 again and see this progression of the mother's pleading with the child. "What, my son? My son? My son?" Not somebody else's son. "My son." Parents, it's good to address your child. "My son, my daughter." Not just name all the time. Use these phrases so that your children know you love them dearly. "What, my son? Don't you know my love for you? What's next? And what? The son of my womb. I bore you in my womb. You are mine. I love you, my son. I've not forgotten those days when you were within my womb. I didn't forget the day when I gave birth in pain to you. You are mine." But she quickly said something even more nobler and sublime. "You are, my son, the son of my vows. You are the answers to my prayers. I must bring you up for the Lord, teach you to serve the Lord." Every father and every mother should remember this. You must tell your children that they are God's gift to you. And therefore they should learn to, they must make effort to learn what is God's will and fulfill it. And if you have made any vow at all, please make known to your children, guide them that way, and urge them. You may have 1,000 questions. You may be asking, "Pastor Koshi, I want him to serve the Lord, but it looks like he will never serve the Lord." Now, no, keep telling him. Keep praying for him. Some people don't do that, wait very late. Never give any proper training, never give any proper nurturing. You see, though I told you that my mom and my dad did not specifically tell me that I should serve the Lord, from young. But they directed me through that path, hoping that somehow in the mind they believe that God has to call me, and therefore they will not tell me until the Lord calls. So the thinking is like this, that look, if we tell him, then he may serve the Lord because of what we say. So we don't want to get into that trouble. Let him hear God's call, but we will encourage him that path. That was the path they took. Nonetheless, what they did was this. They constantly urged me to serve the Lord and always talk wonderful things about serving the Lord, and thus created in me that desire. But I want to go one step ahead, forward, and say, let's be like Hannah. Let's be like King Lemuel's mother. These fine examples that God has recorded for us in the scriptures. Tell our children what we have vowed for them before the Lord. Urge them to grow. Pray for them constantly. When you feed them, when you walk with them, when you lie down with them, when you play with them, remind them. I have given my three children to the Lord's service. You know, I've said this many times, but I'm also scared whenever I say it. You know what I meant. Because once I say it publicly, everybody is going to measure me. And that's for sure. I try my best to remind my children all the time. Sometimes I jokingly ask, just to find out what they're thinking. So what do you want to be? A policeman? A pilot? I say, I thought you said we should be pastors and missionaries. And my girl say, I should be a pastor's wife. I say, yeah, good. Well, that's what I pray. Well, I try my best. I try my best to remind them. Pray for them. May God help me. Pray for me and my family. And I will pray now for all of you who have dedicated your children to the Lord's service. Fear not, my friends, mothers, fathers, stand together. The Lord is able to give us the grace to perform that which we have vowed before him. But let us pay our vows. For he is gracious, he is good, he has blessed us. Let's return to him. Returning to the Lord is never a loss. It's a double blessing. May we have this conviction in our hearts. To conclude all of it, I would like you to read with me from Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Let's read from verse 14 to 19. Let's all read together in conclusion. Psalm 116, verses 14 to 19. Reading together. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. This psalmist himself, as he says in verse 16, says he is a servant, the son of thine handmaid. To me, it's like his mother has vowed that this son will serve the Lord. The psalmist himself is a mother's son, the son of a mother's vow. And I want to say, by the grace of God, before you I stand as a son of my parents' vow. And I want to encourage you. Keep praying. Keep urging your children to love the Lord and serve. And the Lord will fulfill our desires in him. Let's pray. Our good Father in heaven, thou who art merciful to save us, thou who art merciful to provide us all good things that our hearts desire for your glory. We yield ourselves and all that you give for your glory. There are parents who have given their children for your service. Being human, having seen all the troubles and difficulties and wickedness of this world, we sometimes feel afraid in our hearts for our children. We wonder whether we are able to keep the vow that we made. We worry whether our children would agree with us. There are hundreds of questions dashing through our minds. Nonetheless, we thank you that your word teaches us to make vows unto the Lord. And it teaches us to pay our vows to the Lord. It encourages us through good examples such as that of Hannah and King Lemuel's mother, that the Lord will honor our desires and prayers and vows if we yield ourselves in humility and total dedication. This we do for your glory. Accept us, we pray. Bless our desires for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.